morning. Nice to see you. I haven't seen you for a few weeks. My name is Rory. If you joined the church in the last few weeks, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, please. We're going to continue here in our building process. I saw there were five men with guitars today. Please come and get your guitars, unplug them, and just come and stand next to me. All five men with your guitars. Thank you. I'm so pleased there were no women on guitars today. Sure. And beards, eh? Sure. And tattoos. Where's the other one? There was a fifth one. Is that a beard? One of those, like. There we go. And of course, we have to have a left hander, eh? Just because. Stand up for the left, eh? There we go. Why not? Awesome. You look beautiful. I mean, to somebody. I don't know who to, but you look beautiful to somebody. So, you're going to kind of follow me around, okay? So wherever I go, you go. Okay, so just come with me. But look like you love Jesus and you like... I know the bass guitarist, you're not allowed to smile, but like just... No, just come and form around me like this. Not... No, no, man. Just like this, like... There we go. You left-handers. I don't know what to do with you left-handers, but... Okay, you can like... Your yokes are beautiful, man. Okay, so let's read the Bible together. You can put it up on the board. We're going to go from verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. And now, that's verse 5. Let's read it together. Meanwhile, together. 1, 2, 3. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, 'Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work.' Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, 'Wherever you turn, they will attack us.'" Stop there. Go back one, please. So there are three groups of people talking: the men of Judah, the enemies, and the Jews. We know there's rubble. We've got rubble on our building sites. This building site is a prophetic statement to this nation that no matter what this nation is in, we are going to build the church of God. So when you see these videos, I would love more enthusiasm, to be brutally honest. Because we are making a statement to a nation where marriages are falling apart and where our economy is falling apart and where our government is running rampant with all sorts of violence and crime and anarchy, and we are making a statement in the middle of Pretoria East that we are going to build amidst this rubble. If you took a compass 10 kilometers around here, there are marriages falling apart, families falling apart, health falling apart. There's unbelievable rubble, and the church is the only beacon of light that God can possibly hold our nation together with. And there are three groups of people: the men of Judah, which is meant to be the people, the leaders, who are meant to be leading, and they are actually saying, "There's so much rubble that we'll never ever change this thing." The second group of people are the enemies that say, "Actually, this whole thing's going to fall apart. We'll always have enemies." And the third group of people are the Jews, who are the people of God, and they've become negative. So there are three groups of people, and all three groups of those people are negative. You have to know, friends, that whenever we're in a nation, there are always three groups of people, but two groups of those people have got to stay positive. Amen? And one of the reasons, and if you cannot do that in your own life, then on this 8 hectares or 9 hectares of land, we are going to create a little piece of heaven upon earth where at least two groups of those people will remain positive and keep building in the midst of the rubble that is happening around us. Amen. That every Sunday that you come to this church, That every Sunday you come to this church, if you've got no hope in our nation, because most of us can't leave. You need 9 million rand to buy your way into America. Most of us can never leave, so we're here to stay. So we might as well make a difference for Jesus. So that when people walk onto this property, they can feel the presence of God and they know it's going to be okay. Amen? Let's keep reading. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and their spears and their bows. Keep it there, please. My daughter, you heard last week, had an accident where she was hit from behind by a Zimbabwean man who has no insurance and no license, and he was very aggressive. She stopped at a robot. He was on his phone. He smacked her, and then he got out very aggressively, and one of those breakdown guys. You know those breakdown guys? It's the guys you don't want to meet at night. Tattoos, muscles, beard. He just came and stood there like this, and he said, "Moenie worry, dogterkie. Ek sal wag tot jou pa hier kom." And she phoned me. She said, "Dad, I've had an accident." I said, "Oh, you're right." She said, "Dad, there's a big man here, Afrikaans guy. He said he's going to wait until you get here." You see, when there's a low point, and many of you are sitting here with low points in your life, the place to run to when you've got a low point is the church. Because all of us have got low points. And we need a breakdown guy to stand at our low point and to keep God until we can start to build the wall high enough. Amen? Therefore, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them." Okay, let's say it again. Don't be afraid of them. Say it loudly. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Let's stop there. Awesome has been robbed from the Bible to talk about your bicycle and your 21st and your latest hairstyle. And you come back and your daughter says, "Oh, your hair is awesome. Oh, your bicycle is awesome. Oh, your new car is awesome." Awesome is a word that belongs to God. It doesn't belong to bicycles. It doesn't belong to cakes. And it doesn't belong to matric dance dresses. It belongs to God. Amen? Let's go back to it. Remember the Lord. Let's read it. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half of the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so that they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." Is that it? Let's go to the first verse again, please. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Please put up Genesis 49. "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Play your guitars, guys. Sing a song. Amazing Grace. Sing. 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 Grab. 5 men. Grab these men's necks. Keep singing. Come. Stand. Come. Yeah. Grab his neck. Chris, this one. Grab his neck. Squeeze it. Sing. Squeeze it. Friends, when Judah does its job, the hand of Judah will be on the neck of the enemies. When the enemy gets in, the hand of the enemy grips the neck of the men who are meant to be worshiping. I am deeply concerned by the leaders in this nation who are gripped by the enemy. I'm deeply concerned. There is so much rubble in our nation. I'm deeply concerned because inside of this church are leaders that are becoming negative, and you stop praising God and you're becoming part of the system of criticism and brokenness. God knew that we were meant to live in this nation with this rubble at this time, and we are meant to be taking our cause, whatever that looks like to you. We are meant to be taking our guitars and pronouncing the purposes of God over this generation. If you look in the book of Acts, whenever there is trouble, the kingdom of God always advances as long as it's led by praise. And the moment criticism gets into the being of the church, we are no longer a solution. That's why I can't understand when you see the rubble that you do not jump on your seats and celebrate, because we are making a prophetic statement to this nation that while everything is falling apart, we are going to build something that is going to house the future of this nation. And we need people to be courageous. And I pray that every time, if you get to Saturday afternoon and you are absolutely exhausted because your business is battling and your marriage is battling, you say to your family, even if we creep into church on our knees, leopard crawling on Sunday, we're going to go into an environment of praise where God is once again going to underpin us. And we're going to learn how to grip the enemy by the neck. Because when the enemy starts to lie to me and he looks me in the eyes and he says, you are useless, you can't do it, you'll not raise the money, you don't have any part, you're a rubbish preacher, you don't lie. I just take him by the neck and I say, no, you be silent. You be silent. And I start to praise God, and I start to pray, and I start to declare the purposes of God, and your voice gets silenced and God's voice takes control. Amen. When the men of Judah, that's where Jesus comes from. When the men of Judah get caught by rubble and not promise, we're in deep trouble. Deep, deep trouble. Thank you. You may be seated, guys. Let's go to Genesis 49, please. Now, I know you've heard this preached many times. Genesis 49 and verse 8. Judah, your brothers will praise you, and your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. You know this, there's a business in this church that is multi-generations old now. And I think the mother's 80 years old. And this is how they start Monday morning. We normally start Monday morning with our most important meeting with our best customer at 7 o'clock Monday morning. This is how they start, these brothers, with their 80-year-old mother. The very first meeting they have is a prayer meeting in the boardroom praising God. And the very last meeting they have on a Friday afternoon is a prayer meeting in the boardroom with their mother praising God. And I trust that we would raise up a generation of men and women that know how to praise God in the midst of rubble and trouble. That we do not participate in the pervading culture of this nation, friends, because we will go down with it. I pray that the light of the fire of this property burns for multiple generations with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That when people don't know where to turn, they would come here and know, friends, if they just walk onto this land, they would feel the power of God and know that it will be all right to live in South Africa at this time. Amen? It goes on to say this in Genesis 49. Zebulun will live by the seashore, verse 13, and become a haven for ships. His border will extend towards Sidon. And verse 14 says, Issachar is a raw-boned donkey lying down between two saddlebags. When he sees how good and pleasant is his resting place and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and submit to forced labor. If we go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, go there quickly. And verse 22, can you just quickly put it up, please, verse 22. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve. Say serve.
Serve.
As guards. What do guards do? Protect. So praise, just remember this, friends, you've heard me say this a million times. It's the only preacher I ever preached at weddings. Say praise.
Praise.
Serve.
Protect.
Close your eyes. Say praise.
Praise.
Serve.
Serve.
Protect. Say it loudly. Praise.
Praise.
Serve.
Serve.
Protect.
Protect.
If your marriage is in trouble here today, I prophesy three things over you. If you'll praise your wife, serve your wife, and protect your wife, your marriage will get better. If your business is in trouble, if you have a culture of praise, you'll learn how to serve your staff and protect them, your business will recover. I prophesy, it is the way of God all the way through the Bible. Over and over and over again. And that's how it says, this is the order of Genesis. Judah first, Zebulun second, say it will become a harbor. What does a harbor do? A harbor protects from the storms of life. So that when people are battered and bruised out there, when they come into the church, they get protected. And Issachar is a raw-boned donkey. They say it better in Afrikaans. Whoa, die donkey is a wonderlijke ding. Die donkey is a wonderlijke ding. That's a servant, friends. That is a servant. This is what the Bible says. Jesus, although he was God, did not consider himself worthy, but came down and took on the nature of a servant. Say the nature of a servant. He took on the nature of a servant and became obedient to death. Say obedient to death. You know, one of the greatest problems in the church is that we participate in the ways of the world, is that we climb a corporate ladder and get to the top. I want to tell you how church leadership works. In Mark chapter 10, it says this, in the world, they lord it over you. But Jesus Christ came as a servant to serve you. The role of the leadership in the church is not to master you, it's not to lord you, it's to lead you and to serve you and to protect you. That's the only role of the leadership of the church. To lead you, to serve you, and to protect you. Amen? Simple as that. So let's have a look at Numbers chapter 10. Verse 14. Can you go back? Okay, put up there. Verse 14. So God has said to Israel, you've been here too long. You need to move out. You need to move into the promised land. This is how God works. The divisions, say it with me, the divisions of the camp of Judah went first. Stop there. Friends, I know it's a repeat for many of you. I want to tell you, in the midst of this nation, unless you become a man or woman of praise, you will not become a solution to this country, and critical people walk in circles. It doesn't matter if your criticism is right or wrong, critical people walk in circles. And while you are gossiping and slandering, even about our government or about state capture, you're going to walk in circles. State capture is true. It has happened. The Guptas are guilty. So is Busasa. And that has happened, friends, but that is not the solution to our nation. We need Jesus to break in here. We've got to get before God. We've got to pray for Ramaphosa. We've got to pray for Maimane. We've got to pray for Malema. And we've got to keep praying until the Spirit of God touches those men and breaks through. But there's no worth having a home group meeting where we are meant to be bringing hope into people and we end up participating in the rubble of this nation. So as you see one building fill and you see bricks get moved off and the next building go up, just know in your heart that we are making a decision to become a solution to this nation. That we are prophesying into every rubble marriage in this place today that you can be saved in Jesus' name. That we are prophesying into every rubble cocaine addict that you can get saved in Jesus' name. That we are prophesying into every pornographic addict that you can be saved in Jesus' name. And you might have come leopard crawling in here today thinking, I'm an absolute disgrace. You can be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Say the tribe of Judah must go first. Sorry for repeating myself, friends, but this verse is the most important verse to me in my whole Bible because I've been married for 27 years, nearly, and God spoke to me about my marriage, and he said to me, you are negative and critical around your wife. I've been married for 9 years, and he said, the tribe of Judah must go first, and unless you learn how to praise and bless your wife with your words, your marriage will not go forward. And 17 or 18 years ago, I changed the language on my home from Nehemiah chapter 4, from Genesis chapter 49, from Numbers chapter 10, and my marriage started to go forward, and the rubble dissipated, and I have a glorious marriage now. Praise God. But there's some here today whose marriages are like rubble, and whose kids are like rubble. And there are always going to be three voices in our lives. Two have got to be positive. The negative voice will never leave. I'm not doing this for sympathy's sake, but I got a letter this week from somebody to say, we don't like you, Rory, because you don't like Afrikaans people. No, friends, I know these two voices love me. I know 95% of Afrikaans people love me, but there's some that don't. That voice will never go away. I've got a choice. I can either respond to that voice and say to heck with Afrikaans people, or I can say that's a lying voice because God moved me up here and gave me a deep love for Afrikaans people. And ek probeer my best om julle te eer. Ek het die taal geleer, ek bid vir julle elke dag. Ek het my lewe afgelei of neergelei om julle te dien uit die beste van my hart. So I can't listen to the enemy's voice. I've got to listen to these two voices. So don't feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you how he works. The tribe of Judah, the enemy, and the Jews. All three of those voices became negative. Friends, let me ask you this question again. I know I'm laboring the point. Who is influencing you? Who are you spending time with? Who are you keeping company with? And is it time to change? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good character. And when you hang around with the wrong people, you get the wrong idea. I just had the very fortunate privilege of hanging around with a positive dad. Whenever there was trouble, he looked for solutions. And we've got to say in this nation, if you can't get a job, find a job. Ask God to show you a job. Start a business that has never been started. But God is the creative God. He created the universe. He knows how to create jobs that don't exist. Amen? But start to play your guitar again, whatever that looks like. Praise Him. The second thing we see here. Nathanael, son of Zuar, was over the division of the tribe of Issachar. Say Issachar. What is Issachar? What is Issachar? What is it? No, what is it? There's a donkey, as a wonderlicker thing. It's a servant. This is what it says. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey. When it sees how good and pleasant is its resting place, it will bend down. It will bend down and carry the load. Friends, this is what I see in our building of 2,500 people. This is what I see. I see 2,500 students, black and white, colored and Indian students who have come from all over South Africa to study at Tikkies and our institutions. And I see them coming in on a Sunday night and getting filled with the Spirit of God and finding the commission of Jesus upon their lives and getting absolutely set free by the gospel of Christ. I see fire come inside of their souls. But between now and there, I'm going to have to carry a load in prayer, in finances, in servant-heartedness. I'm going to have to carry a load. When I close my eyes in the morning, I see an old wormy walking in, standing on the stop stairs. The reason why we're building it round is that everybody can have a worship experience. I see an old wormy with his hands behind his back thinking, hierdie mense is mal. Hulle kan nie die Here so eer nie. Hulle kan nie hulle hande oplig nie. Ek was nie so opgebring nie. Nee, seker, sekerlik nie. And then I see as he understands the grace of God and he starts to read the Psalms, I can see his hands slowly come up. But something I can feel him, and one day he's going to stand there free. But I'm going to have to carry the load. I'm going to have to serve. I'm going to have to donkey that moment for the next few years of my life so that I can actually see that. I see myself so many times on my 50th wedding anniversary talking to my children and many grandchildren. Many, many, many grandchildren. I prophesy 20 grandchildren for my 4 children. But I see myself making a speech and saying to my wife, I've prayed for you, my darling, 18,420 times every day of our lives since we got married on the 1st of May, 1993. I thank you for the experiences we've had. I thank you for the love. I thank you for the conversation. But now from 27 years to 50, I know that in order to get there, I'm going to have to serve my wife in prayer. I'm going to have to serve her practically. I'm going to have to serve her physically. I'm going to have to serve her spiritually. I'm going to have to serve her financially. Some of you wives have to serve your husband sexually because you've denied them that gift. And verse 16 says, and Eliab, son of Helon, was over the division of the tribe of Zebulun. Say, praise, serve, protect. If you want to build a healthy marriage, praise, serve, protect. If you want to build a healthy family, praise, serve, protect. If you want to build a healthy staff, praise, serve, protect. If you want to build a healthy church, praise, serve, protect. There's no hierarchy in this church. We have got SAA captains parking cars. We have got oncologists on sound desks. We have got bankers on counseling teams. And unless you aim low, you'll never ever see Christ lift you up. Friends, we are living in a nation which is surrounded by rubble. We are involved in a prophetic project that is more than a building process. To heck with the brick and mortar. It is a prophetic picture in the midst of a nation that is swirling. That we are going to make a stand for God by praising Him, serving Him, and protecting the church and the people of God in this place. I pray that every person who walks into this tent on a Sunday, when they walk out, they will be in touch with God. They will feel in some way they've been served, and they will feel that they're safe. Women, men, black people, white people, young people, old people. Together, we'll deal with the rubble and build something that's sustainable.